Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. Once again, what a blessing it is to come to church and just be able to sing congregational songs that have messages that will uplift your spirit and exalt Christ. And then you hear special music like that. That just helps us to want to be in the center of God's will. You hear a message and song sung so beautifully as that was, and you just want to obey it. You want to just let it influence you to stay in the center of God's will, and what a blessing it was. So praise the Lord for it. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you would look with me to the book of Colossians in chapter 1. The book of Colossians, chapter 1. As we've been in a series the last few Sunday nights on why we do what we do here at the Lighthouse Baptist Church, just why we do what we do. We've already looked at some of the things as far as why we do what we do is based on what we believe. And then we looked at why we believe what we believe, and it's because of the Bible. The Bible is the authority of the church. We looked at the authority. Who's in charge? You come to the church, you say, who's in charge and who makes the rules? And we just pull out a Bible and say, right here, this is the authority of the church, the Bible, the Word of God. And everyone can have a copy of it. And everyone can make sure that we are doing things according to that. And that's the church. It's the authority of the church is the very Word of God. Everything is based upon the authority of God's Word. And there's a biblical reason why we do everything that we do. And then we studied last week is why we have pastors and why we have preaching. And there's a biblical explanation for that. It's because God designed that position. And he's called the pastors to feed the flock of God. And the way that the spiritual food is given out is in our worship services. As we assemble ourselves together, and not only do we get the ministry of music, but most important, we get the ministry of the preaching of the Word of God. And through the preaching of the Word of God, the flock or the congregation, the children of God that he has called out and assembled there, they receive that spiritual food through the preaching of the Word of God. You receive spiritual food when you read the Bible yourself, when you come to Sunday school. And that's why we want to encourage as many as we can to come out, not only for the worship service Sunday morning, but come out for the 10 o'clock Sunday school lesson plan. And get into a class that you can get involved in the study of the Word of God and encourage one another. We have classes for every age group. And then not only that, God would have us to meet together all day on Sunday. And you're back tonight. And I trust that you came. I think we mentioned something about having a spiritual bib on every time we come. You know, just come and just be ready to just take it all in. Take it all in. And so Sunday night's another opportunity. Wednesday night's another opportunity. We assemble ourselves together on Wednesday night for Bible study. And then one of the most important times as well, a time to pray together as a church. And we have a prayer sheet that we pass out every Wednesday night that has the requests and the needs of the church members. And we look to bear one another's burdens by learning how to pray one for another and then doing what God tells us to do is praying one for another. It's just everything that we do is based on the Word of God. And so tonight, if you'll stand with me, we're going to be read here in Colossians in chapter 1. Verses 1 and 2 reveal that this is the Apostle Paul, and he is writing to the church at Colossae, the saints which are at Colossae, and that means the church that is there in Colossae. And he is writing us truth that Jesus Christ himself established and passed on to his apostles, and they were to pass it on to their disciples, and every church from that time forward has passed on this truth that he presents to us. And I want to read starting in verse 9, and we're going to read down to verse 19. The truth of the preeminence of Christ in the local New Testament church. The preeminence of Christ in the local New Testament church. And so look here, and let's start reading in verse 9. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day that we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." That's God's will for every believer. "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." That's the center of God's will right there. strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. When you get saved, that's what happens. In whom we have the redemption through his blood, and only comes salvation, redemption, only comes through the blood of Christ, through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. Now look in verse 15. Speaking of Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church being the body. He's the head of that, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, again, we thank you for this, just another opportunity to assemble ourselves together. Thank you for all that have chosen to come tonight to worship you, to take advantage of the opportunity just to learn more about the very Word of God and how we can make that application in our own lives on a daily basis. And I pray tonight that you would speak to each one of us as we have need to be spoken to. Empower the preaching of thy Word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Paul, writing to the church concerning the preeminence of Jesus Christ in the local New Testament church. And so as we see this, and the question tonight, and might be on your mind in the day and age that we're living in, it's a question that a lot of people will ask, why are we identified as an independent, fundamental Baptist church? Is it really important what church I go to? Is it really important what kind of services that we have? Is it really important what kind of messages are being preached? As long as everyone's sincere, does it really matter what church you go to? What doctrines that you believe? Well, that's a question today. That's a question that a lot of people ask. And so ask themselves and maybe their spouses and family members and everyone else. But what we need to do is ask the Word of God. And Paul wrote 14 of the New Testament books of the Bible. And many of those are the epistles that he writes to the churches. And as he writes these to the churches, we understand God's will for the church. Now, we find the pastoral epistles that God allowed Paul to write was for us to understand what the pastor's position is and what the pastor is to do and the doctrines and everything else. What's most important, we studied some of that when we looked at the pastor last week, but writing to the churches, he reveals to the churches God's will for their lives and the importance that he has for the church. And one of the main things, in order to have a biblical church, in order to have a church that Jesus Christ is the head of, he has to have the preeminence in the church. That in all things, he might have the preeminence. And that's very important. In the book of Matthew, and we'll not turn there, but the Bible reveals the beginning of the ministry of John the Baptist. And the Bible calls him John the Baptist. And he came preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He would point to Jesus Christ. And there was a reason they called him John the Baptist. John ushered in the New Testament church age. And we've just gone through a series on the life of John the Baptist. And realizing that, my goodness, he didn't have signs, he didn't have wonders, he didn't perform miracles. All he did is preached. He preached exactly what God would have him to preach, and he exalted Jesus Christ. The most important thing that we do as a church is exalt Jesus Christ. And he came to exalt Jesus Christ and pointed everyone to him. And so we find here that as he came to usher in the New Testament church age, our history as the Lighthouse Baptist Church, our heritage can be linked all the way back to basically John. In that he reveals the doctrine and the manner of baptism. Now, God knew that in this 21st century that they would have the Baptist denomination. God knew that those that would associate with the Bible, you hear me say all the time that it's the Bible that makes me Baptist. It's not the Baptist that makes me Bible, first of all. It's the Bible. It's what's most important. But as I understand the Bible and want to live according to the Bible, I'm going to find a church that best identifies with the Bible. And when you do that, when you look to the Bible, then and you're trying to find a church that's going to identify with the Word of God, you're going to find yourself in a Baptist church. That's if you really want a Bible church, if you want a biblical church. You study what the Bible teaches, you study what the Bible reveals, and you're going to look for a church that you want to help reinforce what the Bible says. You're going to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And this day and age today, we look to it, it's going to be Baptist. Now, not all Baptists are doing that today. And so you have to look to the Bible, first of all, and make sure that just because they say they're Baptist, does that really mean that they're following in the traditional Baptist ways? So that's why you look to the Bible, first of all. And we go all the way back to John the Baptist, who brought this all together. I mean, he was a forerunner for the Lord Jesus Christ. And why they called him John the Baptist is because of he introduced baptism. He's the one that introduced baptism. And as he baptized, it was in looking forward to the death on the cross of Jesus Christ. It was the idea of baptism. And as he was teaching baptism, he says, there's coming one mightier than I that is going to baptize you, but it's going to be with fire. He's talking about you're going to be baptized by him, and as he baptizes you, he's going to send the Holy Spirit of God. That's salvation, not water baptism. The baptism of the Holy Spirit that only comes by way of Jesus Christ. When you receive him, he baptizes you, or he sends the Spirit of God to dwell within you. But John, then, his baptism would be in the water baptism. And in the beginning, it was pointing people to repentance and to look to Jesus Christ. After they received Jesus Christ, then the baptism turned into the first step of obedience once you get saved. And we studied all that when we went through the life of John. And I trusted it was something that was a help to you. But he was called the Baptist because of his manner, his doctrine, the manner of baptism. He did not baptize infants. He did not baptize those that did not know what they were doing. He would question them beforehand, and he would tell them exactly what they needed to do. And then the baptism would be in response to the decisions they would have made to want to follow Christ, to want to look to him. We find after Jesus Christ and the church in Antioch, the apostolic age, the first of being called Christians, these that had this same baptistic doctrine, these that understood that people needed to receive Jesus Christ first and foremost, as they are old enough to understand what they're doing, and they reach this age where they understand that they receive Christ, and after they receive Christ, then they are baptized. And then they are discipled by what Jesus Christ taught. That's the Great Commission. And in Matthew and all the Gospels reveal the Great Commission. And this church of Antioch was one of the first New Testament churches that was doing all that the New Testament church was supposed to do. And because of that, we find that in that church, they were first of all called Christians. Those that were following after Christ. Those that are called Christians in Antioch were those with Baptist doctrine. They were reaching the world. They were seeing souls saved. And then they were baptizing them to be part of the local New Testament church. From that point, we find that they later on became known as Anabaptist. By basically the Catholic Church, because they looked at them as rebaptizing people. And Anabaptist means rebaptizers. Throughout the centuries, they have been known for different types of names, but the doctrine that they have adhered to has been the same. Religious denominations, especially in Christianity, were developed to identify churches with their doctrine. We go all the way back, and the first church that most would be looking to, and they like to claim that they're the mother church, and that's the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church was established as a state church of Rome around 600 AD. They persecuted those with Baptist doctrine. Because they would not become part of the church and do things the way that the church wanted to do things. The church did not want anyone to have a copy of the scriptures. The Baptists were the ones that wanting to get it out and have everyone have a copy of it. Have everyone understand these are the letters. These are the letters that God Himself inspired, and they were passed on and preserved as the completion of the Word of God. And the Catholic Church did not want that because they were not doing things according to the teachings of Christ, even though they wanted to be identified as a Christian faith. They developed baptizing of infants. They developed a lot of other ceremonial things that was not a part of what Jesus taught for His church. In the 1500s, the Great Reformation era, where the reformers were influenced by Baptist doctrine, which was Bible doctrine. There's always been a link all the way back to Christ, all the way back to even John the Baptist, for the Baptist doctrine, which would have been the doctrine that Jesus Christ Himself established. And, if you've ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you go back and you see some of those things and understand what some of our forefathers went through and what some people had to sacrifice and suffer through just because of baptism. They would not denounce biblical baptism. They would not denounce the doctrines of Christ. And because of that, they were persecuted, and they were burned at the stakes, and they were put in prison, and they were separated from their families. All of this was taking place. The persecution went on, and yet God's Word continued to grow. Printing presses started putting out more and more copies of the Word of God. It influenced even the Catholic Church. That's why there was a great Reformation era. They started reading the scriptures. They started understanding that what they were taught from a Christian point of view did not measure up with what the Catholic Church was teaching. And so they rebelled. And they come out of the Catholic Church. The Lutheran Church, founded by Luther in 1530. The Church of England, founded by King Henry VII in 1535. The Presbyterian Church was founded by John Calvin in 1541. Now, these are all somewhat Christian-based religious groups. The bad thing about it is they were influenced by the Baptist doctrine, but they mingled some of the Baptist doctrine with what they brought out of the Catholic Church. And they were called by these denominational names. The Methodist Church was founded by Wesley in 1785. In the 1800s, there were several more groups that had started in the 1800th century. First of all, the Church of Christ was established in the 18th, 1800s by Alexander Campbell. The Jehovah's Witness was started in the 1800s by Charles Taz Russell. The Mormons was started by Joseph Smith in 1830. All these have changed parts of their doctrinal beliefs throughout the years. When they were established, coming out of the Catholic Church, named the Protestants, okay? And the Protestants, and that's where the Catholic Church wants to claim that we're the Mother Church, and all the other churches came out of the Catholic Church. And that's true concerning the Protestant churches. It's not true concerning the Baptist Church. The Baptist Church has not changed its Baptistic doctrines, its doctrines as he's preached, and linked all the way back to John the Baptist, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and taking in all that he taught, all of his doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, and continued on because he said, heaven and earth pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And he's preserved it for us throughout the centuries, for some 2,000 years. Baptists have not, true Baptists have not changed their doctrine. We are linked to the word which Jesus Christ himself revealed. Titus in chapter 1, look over there with me. Amen. Everybody follow me tonight? Yeah, need to know why you're in a Baptist church. Understand why we identify ourselves as an independent fundamental Baptist church. I think it's important. We don't want to lose sight of our heritage. In Titus in chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we find here that says, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Apostle Jesus Christ, meaning he was actually writing the very words that Jesus would have established for the New Testament scriptures. Hit one of his apostles, that was done during the apostolic age. An apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, hold on to God's word, it's the same, he cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Now look down to verse 9 with me. The Bible says, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. That's the pastors of the churches that were established on the word of God, and they were to continue to pass down those very same truths. And we touched on this a little bit last week when we looked at the preaching, and the preaching needs to be the preaching of the word of God. And that is to be passed down. It has been passed down from Christ through the apostolic age, through the believers that have held on to the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastors are instructed to hold fast what Jesus originally taught. Well, then why fundamental? I trust that you understand, first of all, it's Baptist. Baptist is basically believing salvation through Jesus Christ and baptizing those that have been saved. Amen. And the following the doctrines of Christ. The fundamental is more of the following the fundamentals of Christ. Fundamental, being an essential part of a foundation. We are Baptist, but we are fundamental Baptist. Be careful, because that word fundamentalist, the society that we live in today has made that a bad word. And they have identified a lot of nutcases out there as fundamentalist. We're not that, amen? But understand the meaning of the word fundamental, being an essential part of a foundation. We believe in the fundamentals of our Baptist faith, which is simply the Bible. We are Baptists. Yes, we identify with baptizing those that have received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. We're fundamental in our stand on the Bible. We believe that God says what he means, and he means what he says. That we believe that this is the very words of God. This has been written down by God, preserved by God, so that we might have it. It will never pass away. It's fundamental. It's the fundamental doctrines of our faith. We believe in what the Bible says. Jesus revealed, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you want. It shall be done. But in order to have that as a church, that means that we have to abide in Christ and his word has to abide in us. We have to be established on his word to have his power, to have his presence. Fundamental, not contemporary. We're the contemporary Baptist church. Sorry, it's not where I'm going. We're the New Age Baptist church. Well, you might have baptism, right? But you don't have sound doctrine. You wouldn't be advertising yourself as contemporary, and you wouldn't be advertising yourself as New Age. I just want a place that's called fundamental. Understanding what fundamental means. Just means that this Bible is the authority of the church, the fundamental church, fundamental Baptist. Well, why do we say independent? Go back with me to Colossians. That's why we use this. That's why we look to this as our text. Who's the head of the body? Is it a denomination? Or is it Christ? What does preeminence mean? He's going to take second stage? No, it means that he's above all. He is the authority. So why independent? Independent, not subject to the control of others. Not subject to the control of others. Self-governing, known as the autonomy of each local New Testament church. Self-governing. Established and owned by Jesus Christ. That's why independent. We're not bound by a denomination. We're not bound by an association. Now, I am part of the GIBF, the Global Independent Baptist Fellowship. That is a fellowship of pastors. The GIBF has no control, no say-so at all over what we do in this church. But those of like faith, those that believe the very same things, they have a fellowship. And what a blessing it is to be able to go to those meetings and hear other guys who you know believe exactly how you believe and challenge you from the words of God. Preach the word of God. We just hosted a meeting, and those of you that were able to be here at that national, global, independent Baptist fellowship meeting, and we had pastors and missionaries from all around the world gathered right here, and we heard some of the greatest preachers alive today. And what a blessing it was to be spiritually fed by these men of God, strengthening us and helping us to stay faithful to the very words of God. It's independent. Self-governing. This church was established as an independent Baptist church. And you hear my testimony every anniversary. The American Baptists, that's who we bought this little building from, this 5 acres of ground. And they told me then, as a young pastor, they said, we'll give it to you if you just come under the umbrella of the American Baptist Association and be governed by the American Baptist Association, basically is what they were saying. I didn't want to offend them because I wanted the building, amen? But I said, we started the church as an independent fundamental Baptist church, and I believe God would have us to stay, remain independent, fundamental. And God gave us the building, he gave us the property, and he's been blessing the church and adding to the church ever since. It's his church. So why independent? Hopefully you know. Fundamental Baptist. Okay, why church membership? Why should a person join a church? Can't we just have home church? Can't we? Isn't there a lot of good preaching on television? And can't we just, take the CD player with us or DVD player with us on the lake and just play it? And can't we have church right there? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Again, why is biblical? Everything we do. Why? From our name to what we preach to everything that we do in our services, I believe, is Bible-based. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And there's so much here, we won't cover all of it, but just briefly is here what we're going to do. And verse 12. Paul is writing to the church, a local church at Corinth. And he's trying to help them to understand that they were all part of this local assembly. And everyone had a purpose in the church that was in the church. He says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." It's Christ's body. Every local New Testament church is Christ's body. "For by one Spirit are we baptized into one body." That is being baptized of the Spirit. That means salvation. When you get saved, you are baptized by the Holy Spirit. Or Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to dwell within your heart. That's automatic when you get saved. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit." All right, that's salvation for all. "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where were the smelling?" Look at verse 18. I want you to see this. "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him." God sets the members, every one of them, into each local New Testament church to make up that local body, to make up those local hands, to make up those local feet, to make up those local eyes or local ears, to be able to complete the local body to do all that God would have the body to do. And so I want every member that comes to this church to become a member of this church to know, first and foremost, it's God who led you here. It's God who planted you here to become members of this local called out assembly of believers. And if you have joined since that time, you've heard me ask you, do you know for sure this is where God has led you to become part of this local called out assembly? Because you need to know that you are here because God has planted you into this body. And so we find it's God's will for every believer to be planted in the body. If not, he would not have established, first of all, he would not have established positions for every local church. He's established the position of a pastor in every local church. He's established the position of deacons in every local church. And he's established the position of members, the flock. And he describes each one of them having different spiritual gifts and responsibilities. But it's called the flock of God. And the pastors are to feed the flock of God, which are among you in your local churches, preaching the very words of God. If not, he wouldn't establish those positions. If not, he would not have commanded to be at its assemblies. In Hebrews in chapter 10, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. If God did not want us to join the local New Testament church, he would not have given us the commandment of not forsaking the assembly. If not, he would not have given the Great Commission to be an impossible task for any one person to do, but not for his church. It's an impossibility for any one of us to reach the world by ourselves. But as a church, and then as a combined churches, we are and we have reached the world. You look at our missionary letters out there and all the different missionaries that we support. We do that because collectively, we are all collectively praying for and collectively giving toward Faith Promise missions so that we can obey the Great Commission. And not only here in the city, but around the world, reaching the lost with the gospel. Didn't have church members, we couldn't do that. If not, if we're not God's will for us to join the local New Testament church, if not, we would not have a church to turn to. It's part of the help of God. Friday night we had our officers' banquet, and I preached that God's provided. We just have to have spiritual vision to see what God's provided. He's provided salvation for everyone, but before they can accept it, they have to be able to see that they need it. God's provided the church for the believer. A very vital part of the Christian faith. Something that we have need of if we are going to continue to be in the will of God and live as God would have us to live and accomplish what God would have us to accomplish. We cannot do that outside of the church that He's established, because He's established it to provide for us. It's part of what God's provided for us, the church. Even in Matthew chapter 18, He says, when you have aught against one another and you don't see things clearly, there's a way of doing it. You go to somebody that's spiritual and you go and try to get them to help. If they will not hear them, tell it to the church. So the church can help us to work out our problems one with another. The church can help us to know exactly what's right and what's wrong. What can help us to make the right decisions. Praise the Lord for the church. Why membership? Well, if not, we would not have the church to turn to. Why church membership? If not, this is last. We would not have a place to assemble. We wouldn't have had the encouragement of this morning. I don't know about you, but man, it just blessed my heart. Every Sunday blesses my heart to see the church filled, to see people coming in, to sing praises unto God. To see people that have a desire to be influenced by the Word of God and sit under the preaching of the Word of God blesses my heart. And I trust that when you leave that you've been encouraged and you've heard from the Lord and you've gotten something spiritual to help you. But if it wasn't for church membership, we wouldn't have the church a place to assemble, to worship. We wouldn't have the church to pray one for another. Wouldn't have the church to bring our tithe and our offerings to as commanded. Wouldn't have the church to be able to baptize those who receive Christ as their Savior, as we'll be doing tonight. Wasn't for the church. Wouldn't have membership, you can't have the church. If you don't have the church, you don't have these things that God has provided for us. A place to be baptized. A place to partake of the Lord's Supper. Part of God's provisions for every believer, the church. So therefore, we must make sure that we know the identity of the one we attend. Does it really stand for the Word of God? What do they call themselves? Most of them don't want to have Baptists because they don't want to limit who they'll draw in. Because when you put Baptist on the sign, it identifies you. I want people to know who we are. I want people to know not only are we Baptists, we're fundamental. Not only are we fundamental, we are independent. When you come to the Lighthouse Baptist Church, I want you to know that we are an independent, fundamental Baptist church, and you know what to expect. Because the church is important. We ought to be thankful that God's identified His church. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Why? Oh, it's important. Don't be afraid to ask the question. Make sure that you want to have the right answer. Ask the questions. Seek the Word of God for the right answer. Does it really matter? It does matter. It does matter. The church identifies itself through what it calls itself, through its name. I trust that you know that this is where God has planted you. Father, we love you. I thank you, Lord God, for loving us. I thank you for the opportunity just to assemble ourselves together and to study your word and to understand why we believe what we believe and why we do what we do. And I trust that it would be a help to those here tonight to know this, and they would be even more confident in what they believe and why they're instructed and encouraged to do what this church wants to encourage them and instruct them to do. Bless now in this invitation in Jesus.